Hey everyone, Mike Lanana here, joined by Teddy Cahill via phone. We want to thank you for tuning in today's Baseball America College Podcast. Our college podcasts are sponsored by Health IQ. Health IQ, helping health-conscious people get lower rates on their life insurance. Visit healthiq.com/BA to see if you qualify. We have a new top 25 out this morning, and you're not going to see a whole lot of changes to it. This week, it was a little bit easier to put the poll together than last week. Last week was a bit insane with a whole new look top 10, but for the most part this week, teams took care of business. We had a couple of changes in the back end of the poll. We brought Coastal back in. We dropped UCF down to number 25. They had a rough weekend against East Carolina and some shuffling as well with San Diego State moving up, Illinois moving up. But for the most part, I mean, not a lot of significant changes to this poll, huh, Teddy?
No, I mean, this week it was a lot of teams taking care of business, like you said. I mean, we did have a few top 25 series. I think it was five of them. And four of those were in the SEC, and so I mean, there was some inherently going to be some shifting with those happening. But I think by and large, it was a pretty steady poll this week, and we're happy to see that after a couple of weeks of some significant changes. It makes our Sunday poll meeting a little bit easier, and Oregon State continues to roll. This is their 13th week at number one in the last 18. Pretty impressive. They won their millionth straight Pac-12 series. The Beavers just continue to do what they do out west. And, I've said a few times before, I believe I've said it here even, that, Oregon State, I didn't think they'd go 27-3 in the Pac-12 again, just because the Pac-12 was a little better this year and would provide the Beavers a little more challenge. And I'm rethinking that a little bit here a couple weeks into the start of conference play. So Beavers look really good again, and they remain at number one. But Florida, Stanford, they took care of business, and so did several other teams throughout the country.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And we've talked a lot about that 27-3 mark. I mean, I read it as often. Anytime I write about Oregon State, I write it because that record still is mind-blowing to me. It is amazing just how consistent they've been since the start of last year in Pac-12 play and in a non-conference play, too. Really just an unstoppable team, seemingly. I am very curious to see, how they do fare against Stanford and UCLA, the two Pac-12 teams that we have in our top 25. Both of those teams have been rolling. It seems like it could be a three-horse race this year as opposed to just Oregon State running away with it, but we'll see. We won't know until they match up head-to-head. But you mentioned the top 25 matchups from this past weekend, and we had some really intriguing ones, again, specifically in the SEC, which, as we've noted, is ridiculously deep this year, super talented, just lots of talent all across that conference. And we saw that this weekend with number 2 Florida against number 4 Arkansas, a really hard-fought series. Arkansas takes the opening game, but Florida's able to come back. Teddy, what did you make of this series, and what are you kind of taking away from it?
Yeah, I thought it was an outstanding series. It had a lot of attention. ESPN gave it some pretty prominent play. It was on ESPN2 a couple of nights, and it definitely looked up to the hype. And, it was two teams that were the preseason division favorites in the SEC. These are two teams that, I think are going to be in Omaha. It was a fantastic matchup on paper with Florida's pitching versus Arkansas's bats, and it was really interesting to see it all play out. Arkansas gets Brady Singer on Friday night, kind of bit his kryptonite a little bit. Two of his last three losses are to Arkansas, Florida responds to that, and they come out and they drop like 17 runs to win Game 2. And then that sets up the rubber game on Sunday. It was a really tight game. Florida finally pushes ahead in the seventh on a Nelson Maldonado two-run homer. He had kind of a rough week up to that point, but he came through in the clutch. And Arkansas made it close at the end. They got the tying run to second base in the ninth inning. They even scored off of Michael Byrne. That hadn't happened since last season. But, you know, Florida's All-American closer shuts the door ultimately, and you know, Florida comes out with a marquee series win, and you know, they the Gators. I mentioned how the Beavers just continue to roll. The Gators are just rolling right along as well this year, and I think they showed this weekend they can beat you in a couple different ways. They obviously can do it offensively. That's what they did on Saturday. And you know, Jonathan India has just been incredible this season, hitting like .420. He has 9 home runs already. He hit a grand slam to get the Gators going on in that second game. And you know, then on Sunday they showed that they can, you know, fight through it. They can win on a Sunday. You know, Tyler Dyson is really tough, and Michael Byrne at the back end of the bullpen is incredible. And you know, it's an impressive Gators team. And you know, I spoke with Kevin O'Sullivan last night, and he agreed more about Florida and this weekend's series in off the bat on baseballamerica.com. And you know, he said that one of the things that Florida's just still learning is you know, how much every other team is going to get up for them. You know, they're the preseason SEC favorite. They're the defending national champs, and you know, everyone's going to give them their best shot. And Arkansas did that this weekend, but Florida ultimately was able to take that punch and then punch back and win a series.
Yeah, no, it was certainly really impressive. And you know, again, in the SEC, we're going to have a lot of these matchups that are going to go, you know, in the opposite direction than maybe we expect sometimes. Just a lot of, you know, it's almost a level playing field with a lot of these teams. You know, case in point, we have Auburn and Kentucky, you know, two teams that have both done big things this year. They went back and forth in their series. Kentucky takes that series win after Auburn had shot up the rankings. And then we have Ole Miss, who I think both of us, we've been, you know, last week we discussed running them up, and we did run them up in our top 25, but we were still a little bit uncertain how good the Rebels were just with their schedule. They haven't played the toughest schedule to this point, but this weekend that changed. You know, going to Bluebell Park and College Station and taking on Texas A&M, it's a tough feat for anybody. That's a very hostile environment down there. And they come away with a series win. It's 3-1 run games, very, very tight. But Ole Miss, obviously, their bullpen is a big strength of theirs and certainly came in handy for them against Texas A&M. And now they have this marquee series win, and they're sitting at number 4 in our poll. They're 22-3 overall, 4-2 in SEC play so far. And they're off to a really good start here. Obviously, it's not going to get any easier in SEC play. They have Arkansas coming up next. They're taking them on at home, and you know Arkansas is going to have a chip on its shoulder after dropping this series to Florida, and that's really what makes the SEC so fun. But Teddy, I mean, what do you make of the Rebels winning this series, and how do you view them with this group? Are they in this conversation as far as being an elite team?
Yeah, I thought that was another fantastic series. It was 3-1 run games. It was I thought three pretty well played games all the way around. And Ole Miss going out on the road and winning a big time series. You know, their schedule, like you said, I mean, to this point, hadn't been super great. You know, they went out to Long Beach, and unfortunately, the Dirtbags maybe aren't quite what they were when Ole Miss scheduled that. It's not quite giving them the juice that they maybe would have hoped from that. But you know, they were doing what they could against that schedule. They were winning and winning a lot. And now they went out and they proved it in a really tough environment, like you said. And you know, I was impressed just with the way Ole Miss pitched. You know, Parker Karachi at the back of the bullpen has really stepped up for them, and he's got some incredible numbers this year. And you know, they did it in a few different ways. They did it without the best start on Thursday night from Ryan Rollison, their preseason All-American ace. You know, but Ole Miss found a way against a really good Texas A&M team that now has lost back-to-back series to open SEC play. And, you know, they're two pretty tough series at Auburn and then against Ole Miss. But, you know, the Aggies have to find a way to get it going a little bit here so it doesn't snowball on them. You know, and as for Ole Miss, you know, I think, yeah, they're ready to contend in the SEC West. I mean, last week I moved them into my 8 for Omaha. And, you know, I think they're ready to fight with, you know, that division, that SEC West division is incredibly difficult. You know, and I still probably would lean towards Arkansas in terms of a favorite there. But, you know, Ole Miss has a chance this weekend to totally flip that on its head and really assert themselves as the team to beat in the SEC West.
Yeah, it's going to be yet another exciting series in the SEC. We're going to be glued to that one, I'm sure. And Teddy, but before we went on air here, I mean, we were talking a little bit just about best series wins in general, most impressive series wins, and certainly, you know, Ole Miss going to Texas A&M and taking that series is one of them. Florida, Arkansas, what happened this weekend there, that's, of course, in the discussion as well. For you, I mean, is there a clear series that stands out as, okay, this is the most impressive, or are there just kind of a handful for you right now?
Yeah, I think it's tough to pick who has the best series win on the table right now. I mean, I think I would lean towards Florida beating Arkansas. But, I mean, there's a case for Ole Miss going to A&M. That's a tough place on the tough series on the road. I think there's a case for Arkansas sweeping Kentucky. I think there's a case for North Carolina State going to Clemson and sweeping that series. I mean, and Kentucky has, you know, its home series wins against Texas Tech and Auburn. I think there've been some really great series so far this season. And, you know, personally, I'm having trouble picking a best one. And, you know, I guess I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to lean towards Florida beating Arkansas. But I think there are arguments for several teams, you know, for having that honor at this point.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, and it's really, obviously, it's a totally subjective thing. You know, for me, Arkansas sweeping Kentucky and just the way they went about it was really loud to me early on, especially with what Kentucky had done just before that. You know, a really great showing from them against Texas Tech, and for, you know, Arkansas to beat them the way that they did. I mean, really three blowouts. The first game was 9-4, but the next two, I mean, they scored 14 runs and 16 runs. That was really impressive to me. And then you mentioned, of course, NC State going to Clemson and sweeping Clemson. You know, the ACC is nuts right now. I can't really we've talked about it on our last podcast, and I've tweeted about it quite a bit, but it's tough to figure out. But NC State going down there and sweeping Clemson was something that surprised me and really said a lot about the resilience and toughness of that NC State team, which I had the chance to see them up close and personal this weekend for the first time this season. And they certainly impressed me with their resilience this weekend. They almost lost a series to Georgia Tech, who got swept by Clemson earlier this season, adding to the confusion in the ACC. But they came back. They scored 6 runs in the 8th inning yesterday to come back and take that win in the rubber game, which was really impressive. But that, you know, that's one series at Clemson, NC State, that certainly stands out to me, as well as the Arkansas against Kentucky series. But there are going to be many more to come. Arkansas against Ole Miss this weekend could be in the conversation, depending on which way that goes and who steps up. But it's certainly going to be a lot of fun to follow, and we'll, of course, have you covered. But now, how about a word from our sponsor here, Health IQ? How would you like to save money for being active and physically fit? Like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/BA or call 1-800-549-1664 to talk to a Health IQ agent. Mention the promo code BA for savings. And, of course, Teddy, we've talked a lot about the SEC, the ACC, a little bit of the Pac-12, a little bit of the Big 12, but there are conferences outside of the Power 5 conferences, and there were some really key series this weekend in some other conferences, Conference USA, the American, and the Mountain West Conference, three series that, you know, I think you and I both think added maybe a little bit of clarity to those conferences, a little bit, maybe not so much with the American, but the other two, maybe a little clarity. Of course, the series I'm talking about here, ECU and UCF, I referenced that earlier. ECU, both those teams, ECU is ranked number 21, UCF number 20. ECU comes away with a big series win to establish themselves as the top dog in the American right now in terms of their poll ranking. It's all clustered in the standings. You know, good luck figuring that out. But in terms of resume, ECU is top dog in the American right now. But they're taking on Wichita State this weekend, which Wichita State, you look at their resume, compares favorably favorably, very favorably to what UCF has, compares favorably to what South Florida has. They had a nice series win against UConn this weekend. I don't know what to make of all this. Teddy, do you have any opinions here on the American?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, as usual. But I thought what ECU did, going down to Orlando, they lose on Friday night, they bounce back, and they win a couple of games, and they were really big wins, too. You know, I mean, they came out, and they swung the bats really well against a UCF team that can pitch, and, you know, I thought that was a nice statement for the Pirates.
That's the wrong hashtag for ECU. That's NC State's hashtag statement. You can't use that for ECU.
I know how much of those fans don't like each other. So yes, I should be careful. I'm mixing my hashtags there in the state of North Carolina. But you know, the Pirates look good, and you know, conversely, the Knights you know, drop a series that you know that I think that you know they're not going to be thrilled that they had. You know, a chance to win that series at home, and they don't get it done after winning on Friday night. You know, and as we go forward here, I mean, I guess I was pretty impressed with the way ECU hit the ball the last 2 days. I mean, they scored 23 runs, outscoring UCF 23-9, and you know, I think that's a really good team as we look forward. And you know, I also was impressed with what USF did. I thought what happened in Florida this weekend in the American was, you know, overall, pretty interesting. And, you know, like you said, that conference, impossible to figure out.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting a little bit of clarity, I guess.
Maybe a little bit. Not a lot. Just a little bit. Just like a dash of clarity here.
Just a few hits here and there. And eventually we'll have enough to piece this puzzle together, maybe.
Hopefully. Yeah. No, I thought what South Florida did with Connecticut, because – especially, you know, you look at that series, you see McClanahan versus Tim Cate in that first game, and you think, okay, that's going to be a pitcher's duel. You know, this is the game that South Florida has to win here to win this series. Whoever wins that game, you think is going to go on to win that series. McClanahan got shelled. It was his worst start of the year by far against UConn. Gave up a grand slam, gave up two home runs, six runs total. He had come in with a zero ERA. And UConn wins that game, and okay, you're thinking, all right, the Huskies are about to win yet another big series on the road, because all they do is play on the road at this point in the year. And South Florida came back and showed some resilience, and I thought that was a really loud statement from them. I'm going to use that hashtag with them, because I just can't think of another word right now. But again, I mean, there's still so many unknowns here. I do really like ECU's team. I'm very interested to see how they perform against Wichita State this weekend. That is going to be a series to watch for sure, not just in terms of the poll and the standings, but in terms of draft talent as well. So that'll be very interesting. But as far as other conferences, we have Conference USA. You talk about action in Florida. And I thought what Southern Miss did and going to Florida Atlantic, a team that had been playing really well so far this year and is always a Conference USA contender, is always finishes in the top of the standings. Southern Miss takes care of business there, wins that series. It's their best series win since opening weekend when they swept Mississippi State. And it might be their best series win, period, depending on how Mississippi State fares going forward. But what did you make of that series? And does this add a little bit more, clarity? I will come back to that word, to the Conference USA picture.
You know, I thought, again, it was a team losing on Friday night, responding and winning a series. This one, in this case, on the road, I thought that was very impressive from Southern Miss, that you know, they get walked off on Friday night, you know, in a tough, really tough fashion, but they bounced back. You know, they really came out and they took care of business over the next few days. And on Sunday, they just poured it on offensively and, you know, kind of left no doubt in that series that, you know, they went 25-5 in Conference USA last year. And, you know, that it falls short of Oregon State's 27-3. And it's in Conference USA, so it got a little bit less attention, I think. But, I mean, they just rolled through that conference last year. And, you know, this year, if anyone was going to stop them, you know, it felt like FAU had to get it done at home. You know, that maybe somebody else, you know, that Southern Miss did lose a series last year against ODU, and they still won the conference by six games. you know, even if somebody gets them later this season, if even if Louisiana Tech, which is off to a really nice start and actually currently in first place by half a game in that conference, even if they get Southern Miss, you know, the margin for error is pretty small because Southern Miss is so much better than so many teams in this conference. You know, if anyone was going to stand in their way, I kind of felt like it had to start this weekend with FAU. And, you know, Southern Miss answered the bell after losing on Friday night. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that right now Southern Miss looks, again, like the best team in Conference USA. I still really like this Florida Atlantic team. I think Louisiana Tech is doing is very interesting. They're pitching the ball incredibly well. And I'm going to be interested to see how they match up with some of these teams offensively. But, you know, right now it's hard to ignore what Southern Miss has done.
Right. Yeah, and Louisiana Tech is a team that interests me as well. It's a team I've personally looked at the past couple of weeks for our top 25. They do have some nice wins on their resume to this point. They were the first team to beat Texas A&M this year back in the Frisco College Classic. They also have a win against California in that tournament. Both are good wins for them. They also swept Rice, which, as we know, is, you know, perennially a power in Conference USA. Rice is struggling out of the gate this year, 10-16, but still a nice sweep to have on the resume nonetheless. But it is going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. There's no question that Southern Miss, to this point, is the team to beat, especially given what they did last year as well, as you mentioned, their conference record. So, but it'll be fun to watch going forward. And then, and lastly, you know, one of those conferences we were talking about as well is the Mountain West, where there was a big battle this weekend between San Diego State, who we have at number 25 last week. They moved up a little bit this week because they took care of business against UNLV, a team that had gotten off to a red-hot start, a team that led the standings in the Mountain West. It was, as far as Mountain West battles go, as big as it can get. And San Diego State passed that test, and Teddy, you caught up with Mark Martinez. You could read more about it on baseballamerica.com. But what were some of the takeaways from that series?
Again, a team that lost on Friday bounced back on the road to win a series. And it was just incredible how many teams did that across the country this weekend. You know, it certainly happens, but in so many of these big series, you know, on Friday night, a team lost, and, you know, that they responded over the next 2 days. And in San Diego State's case, again, they did it on the road. They lost 4-3 on Friday night, and this is a team that's not super offensive. You know, they're very much built around pitching and defense. They play in a really offensive league, however, and at UNLV is a very hitter-friendly environment, you know, just like it is in the minor leagues. And, you know, the San Diego State was able to get it done offensively. You know, they came out and they scored a lot of runs over the next 2 days to, you know, really make firmly state that they are the team to beat in that conference. You know, the fact that they scored 39 runs over the final two games of that series, I thought was just very, very impressive. You know, as a team, they have something like 10 home runs, I think it is. But they showed that they can win offensive games, which is what they're going to have to do throughout the Mountain West season. And, you know, so to see them come out and do that, I think was, you know, impressive. And I think that was important for the Aztecs themselves. You know, it's a new look lineup this year. That they brought in a pretty big recruiting class. They lost several players from last year's Mountain West championship team, and you know, Martinez told me that, you know, they really made a concerted effort to stick with their guys early in the season, but they wanted the lineup the regulars in the lineup to know that they were going to be in there regardless, and that approach definitely has paid off to this point. They got 8 players hitting better than 300. You know, and they it's a very deep lineup. It's not a lineup that produces a ton of power, but it's a very deep lineup. They've got plenty of pitching on the mound, and I think you know, it's a team that, you know, has really come a long way pretty quickly this season. And you know, for me, it's one of the most impressive starts. You know, that's a team in a conference that, it kind of has been overlooked over the last few years. I mean, the Aztecs have made regionals before the last 5 years, but, you know, I feel like sometimes in that conference, it's just easy to get overlooked by what's happening in the Pac-12 and in the Big West. But this year, you know, the Mountain West, it's still really early, but the Mountain West is up to number 7 in the RPI. And, you know, that's a big testament to what's happening at San Diego State and UNLV, which came into the weekend at 19-3 and had only lost once at home. And so, again, for San Diego State to go to Las Vegas and win that series, I thought was pretty significant all the way around.
Yeah, there's no question there, and it's certainly helpful for people like us who are trying to make sense of the national picture at this point to again get some sort of clarity there in that picture there in the Mountain West. So certainly a great start for San Diego State, and again, like I said, you could read more about that on baseballamerica.com. But you know, as for the rest of this top 25, again, not a whole lot changed this week. You know, this weekend coming up, we should expect a few more changes in terms of just some of these series that we have. You know, Florida is going to be taking on Vanderbilt, which is a really, really fun series. It's going to be interesting to see Vanderbilt if they're able to take that show on the road to Florida. And so far, you know, in the tournaments that they've played this year, they've fared well. They had another big weekend this weekend against LSU taking that series. So that's going to be a fun series to watch. We mentioned Ole Miss and Arkansas. That's going to be a good one. We have Florida State hosting Louisville, which is personally very interesting to me. I'm not entirely sure what to make of Louisville at this point. After back-to-back series losses in the ACC, they lost to Clemson at home after Clemson got swept at home by NC State. What does that mean? I don't know. We'll hopefully find out maybe this weekend. We'll see how Louisville does on the road against Florida State. Florida State has, even though they've won ACC series the past two weekends, it hasn't been easy. It was a really hard-fought series against UNC this weekend. They came back. They rallied late against UNC closer Josh Hyatt. They have his number. They've done very well against him in the time that he's been UNC's closer. And, you know, Louisville is, of course, you know, coming off this series loss here to Clemson. We'll see if they're able to regroup. They're a young team, but they're getting a little bit healthier. They have Nick Bennett back on the mound. He started this weekend for them. So it'll be interesting to see how that series plays out. Mentioned Wichita State and ECU. That'll be another good one. And then, you know, we still have Big 12 play going. Texas Tech, West Virginia is going to be interesting to me. And, you know, Notre Dame in the ACC, kind of like Wake Forest, you know, both teams are below 500. They played each other this weekend, but they have some big series win. I mean, Notre Dame nearly won a series against FSU last weekend, wins a series against Wake this weekend. Wake had beaten FSU previously. I still don't know what any of this means. Notre Dame also beat LSU in the opening weekend earlier this year. There's just a lot of intrigue in that conference right now, a lot to unravel. So, you know, hopefully these next few weeks we're able to figure out a pecking order more so with these conferences. And, yeah, we'll obviously be here discussing it. You know, Teddy, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about from this past week in college baseball?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on, you know, yesterday at Camden Yards, Army and Navy met up for a doubleheader. It was the first time in more than a decade that those two schools had played on a neutral site. And it's the first time, you know, later this season, they're going to play again at Fenway Park next month. And I thought it was a really cool spectacle. It was very cold here in Baltimore, but it was a very cool spectacle. There was a snow delay, so that was unique. But just to see those two teams, you know, go at it in, you know, a fantastic setting. They drew a pretty good crowd. There were 3,000 people there, despite the fact that, you know, temperatures were pretty close to freezing when they started. You know, there were maybe 40 or 50 midshipmen students in the stands. That was pretty cool. You know, so to see the pomp and circumstance of that rivalry get on a bigger stage, I thought was fantastic to see. You know, and I'm hopeful that as this continues, you know, that they can continue to do this and continue to grow the game. Obviously, the football game is such a huge part of the calendar in that sport, and it would be great to see if that similar thing could happen, in baseball. Those kids obviously have a lot more going on than baseball, but it still means a lot to them. And I thought that, I think the opportunity to play on that field meant a lot to them. And so for me, that was just a really cool experience. I wish it had been a little warmer, but overall, it was a fantastic day. And Army swept the doubleheader, and that's a team, the Black Knights, that are on the rise under second-year coach Jim Foster. They're only 11-12 overall right now because they had a really poor record on their spring break trip to Florida. They went 1-8, but they have a series win against Maryland. They're 4-0 in the Patriot League right now, and that's a team that the last 3 years has had a losing record overall. And, I think they're ready to bounce back this year. I think they're ready to compete in the Patriot League. That's a league that obviously doesn't get the kind of attention of any of the other conferences we've talked about to this point. But, as the season continues, I think Army is a team to keep an eye on. And, it's a team that plays with a lot of belief. I think that's the best thing about that team is just, they have a great mentality, and they really play very disciplined baseball, and they play really hard for each other, and that's why they were able to sweep that doubleheader yesterday against Navy, and why they're off to a pretty solid start overall this season.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that is a very cool event and a very cool thing that they're doing. And other than the snow delay, I'm sure you had a great time taking that in. Thankfully, no snow delays here. I haven't had one of those yet this year, but of course, I'm jinxing myself right here. I'm sure I'll get a snow delay this weekend.
I'm not even sure I'd ever seen one of those before. I grew up in Cleveland, and I tweeted that was the first time I'd written that sentence that I was in a snow delay since I was in high school, and then I thought about it more and. I thought I'm not even sure that we had one of these in high school. I'm pretty sure we just canceled the game when it snowed. That was like, all right, we're done here. So that was a different experience when it started snowing. And it was really coming down. Fortunately, it was just a pop-up snow shower, and they were able to get back to playing. And it was cold weather a lot of the parts of the country. I saw Minnesota and Nebraska and Illinois Northwestern were both delayed because the Big Ten has a rule that you can't start a game if the real field temperature is less than 28 degrees. both of those games were delayed on Saturday. So, hopefully across the country we get out of this cold snap.
I mean, it's spring. I mean, it's practically April to this point. Enough with the snow.
It's literally spring. Last week was the first day of spring. Let's get on with this. But, such is the weather in the northern part of the country.
Yeah, well, hopefully, we don't run into any snow delays this weekend. Remember to follow along with us. I'm at MLanana. Teddy's at Ted Cahill on Twitter. You can keep up with our work there and on baseballamerica.com. And as always, thank you for tuning in to today's Baseball America College Podcast. Our college podcasts are sponsored by Health IQ. Health IQ helps health-conscious people get lower rates on their life insurance. Visit healthiq.com/BA to see if you qualify. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.